Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and sinners. It just really cracks me up that the tax collectors are always grouped with the sinners. The tax collectors in the first century must have been really rotten people. Kind of reminds me of politicians today. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them. Ew." And he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after what is lost until he finds it?" These tax collectors and sinners are lost sheep. They're lost sheep, and they are worth going and getting and teaching them and getting them to believe and obey, if at all possible. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." I say to you that likewise, there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. God and the angels in Christ rejoice when a sinner is saved. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece that I had lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Not only somebody who becomes a Christian, but a Christian who has fallen away and comes back and repents. People are worth saving. Souls are valuable. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. 'Give me my inheritance.' And not many days after, the younger son gathered everything together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with wasteful living. So he went to his father. He said, 'Give me my inheritance up front.' Then he moves away to a far country and squanders it with wicked worldly living. Probably just party, party, party. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in need." Okay, so now he's destitute. He has no food, no clothing, no shelter, nothing. "And he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would willingly have filled his belly with a husk that the swine ate, and no man gave anything to him." So this young man goes from being fine, being safe, being in a right relationship with his father. And then he decides that he wants to go off into the world and live a evil, wicked, wasteful life. This would represent a Christian who's a member of the Lord's church. He's in a right relationship with God. He's done what he needs to do to become a Christian. Maybe he was living right for a while. And then he decides to fall away. He just gets tired of the Christian life. The temptations of the world are great. He misses his drinking, his smoking, his drugs, his adultery, whatever. Whatever his vice is. So he falls away. Okay. 17 through 20, I think, is an excellent example of what a person needs to do to come back to the fold, basically. It says, "And when he came to himself," so he had godly sorrow right there. "And when he came to himself, he realized his sin, and it upset him." It upset him. He had godly sorrow. "He said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have enough bread and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" He realizes his sin. He wants to change his life. Then he says, I will arise. So he has made a decision. That's his repentance right there. He's changed his mind. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. So he had godly sorrow when he came to himself. Then he made a decision, or he repented, which is a change of mind. I will arise. And then in verse 20, and he arose. So he actually acted on that decision. This is a great example of repentance. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. When we are a Christian and then we fall away and we decide to repent and get our lives back on track with God, God is ready. He is ready. He is willing. He's able. And he welcomes us with open arms like the Father did this son. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So this is like the example that Jesus told in the first few verses where, a man has lost one of his sheep. He leaves the 99 to go find the one lost sheep, and there's great rejoicing over that. Or a woman who has 10 pieces of silver, she loses one. She searches diligently for it, and she finds it. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Same thing. This is the point he's making with this parable. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. So God and Christ and the angels are rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who has repented. But here's an example of a human being who gets angry about this, did not have the right attitude about it, does not rejoice about it. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, look, these many years I have served you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as your son came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you have killed a fatted calf for him. He has a terrible attitude about his brother trying to turn his life around and make his life right again with his father. He has a terrible attitude about it. We as Christians cannot do that. If someone is living, let's say someone is a member of the Lord's church, member of the congregation we attend, and they've been faithful for a while, and then they fall away, and they go do a bunch of nasty, disgusting sins, and they come back. We should be so happy. Not everybody is, though. Not everybody is, and that's the wrong attitude to have. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was fitting or proper that we should make merry and be glad. For this your son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We need to have the right attitude for a member of the church who comes back after living a life of sin. They come back and they want to make their life right with God, and they repent and start obeying again. We need to accept that. And sometimes it's hard because I remember I was a member of one congregation that there was a man who, for lack of a better word, was basically a pedophile. And he repented of that and came back to the Lord's church, you know, repented. And it's hard for us to accept that because we humans tend to categorize sin. You know, when we see pedophilia as a pretty bad sin. So, you know, yeah, it can be a little hard to embrace that brother again and accept it. But we have to do that if they are truly repentant of their sins. We have to accept that, and we have to support them and be happy, because we know that God and Christ and the angels are rejoicing in heaven if he's truly repentant. And that is Luke chapter 15.